and welcome to episode 24 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me, just to shake things up, I have...
James Ross.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
And Marilyn Monroe.
And who are you all playing?
Sir Bertrand McGuffingham.
Hammett, the halfling sorcerer.
Sasha Rackett.
And Zolf, who is not the leader anymore.
Ooh. So...
Well, he is. He's letting Hammett have this one.
We'll see. We'll have to
see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Oh, Zolf will be an I told you so kind of guy.
Who's not well in the mercenary house?
Everyone.
Bad accent. That was worse than my sat.
Episode 24 in the Rusty Quill house.
There you go.
Zolf was called in the diary room. There's a bleeding zombie in the corner.
Honestly, I don't really like the way they've added all these bleeding zombies around. Honestly, it's not good.
Yeah, wow, okay. That's
for me. Strong challenge. Zolf is going to have to pick all of the pieces of sweet corn from one plate using his trident and move them to another plate.
Or oh, there'll be no money for milk this week.
I like that, because we turn up the Big Brother household into like gritty kitchen sink drama set in the 1980s. That's fine.
So, anyway... Yeah, you're all currently playing Big Brother beneath Kew Gardens in the basement where you've been found rancid with plant-based zombifications. There's a body encased in cold mould that nearly got hammered. There were two swarms that Sasha managed to annihilate. There was a third body that you only just found, which was hiding in the toilets, and you now have just revealed another person, seemingly alive, in a
hand.
Tank.
Let's not assume it's attached.
Oh, there was a miming
body.
Face.
There was a miming
there
face.
Was a miming.
It could be, if there's a lot of steam in the tank, it could be like that bit in Titanic in the car.
That's the exact look I want you to take.
But not the same emotional context.
Maybe.
You don't know how Bertie's going to react.
You don't know.
Take the rock away and we'll see.
Yeah, it turns out there's actually just a lot of people getting busy in there. And that is
that's a very, very
that's,
different
that's
party that you just crashed.
It's all the tiny little mandrakes. They're in all the other pods. That's
yeah, they're having a great time. Having a great time.
So, the party have literally just seen that face inside one of the tanks. It's the one who's been tapping with Morse code.
Bertie, can you move that rock?
Yes, we're sure we want to do that.
You see the face, already the window steaming up, we climbs it and it's just, it points at the rock and goes, no. And then it
we hear them do that?
You can't hear them, but I can't mime over audio.
You cast message.
What languages do you have, Lydia?
I got sign language and French.
Read your languages again.
Sign language, comma, French.
Didn't you take lip reading?
I didn't write it down.
I know you took lip reading.
So
he's just saying, no, leave the rock there,
he's
whatever
saying,
you do,
leave the rock there.
Oh. You're in there with it.
Right, so he's...
No, I think you want to say, it's in here with us.
Right, but I'll just be like, but we, and I gesture at the door.
He's kind of looking not to where the sound was scraping before,
mm-hmm.
but back up to the entrance that you came in. And he's just kind of peering and he looks really scared.
No, I killed them. I burned all the swarms.
Hannon, how should we
proceed? Yeah, this is a bit like, for the listeners at home, I'm miming, like, mandrake swarms.
The entirety of the last two episodes.
Yeah, glamorously sort of swearing in, throwing a bomb, then exploding, then, like, thumbs up all over the place, then A-OK symbols, then, like, doing
30,
a little dance.
Yeah, 30 leads
While
in.
This conversation's happening, can I just know the order that you guys are stood in? So place yourselves on the map so that I know.
It's combat time, everyone!
So you're
not necessarily, but
stone,
I do... It really
and
matters.
And Sasha are there, and Zolf has probably backed off a little.
A bit.
I mime the rest, the last couple of episodes.
Time,
it's glamorous.
Time to test whether you guys can separate out character knowledge from player knowledge.
Right.
Give me a will save... Hammond.
I rolled an 11 and my will is 4, so 15, but an additional 2 versus fear. Not easy to scare a halfling. You don't scare easy.
So, Hammond.
That's me.
While Sasha is demonstrating all of this, something really, really light. You barely feel it, just taps the back of your head and you hear a pfft, and suddenly everything around you is like bright yellow. You just see flecks of yellow all around you, and it didn't hurt, there's no effects on it, but just a from the back of your head.
What was that?
What was what?
What?
Something, why is everything yellow?
The guy is meanwhile looking at Sasha and he's going, no. Just, are you sure you got everything?
A big, expansive, I don't know, shrug. Like the little things, yeah. And then I do like mime a giant tentacle monster. And I'm like, no, that's over there. And then I point.
Bertie leans in. I kill zombies. And yep. the mime I do for that is so genuinely horrific and upsetting.
like the trident going in, or the sword going in, the head rattling. Yep.
And then I mime the puppet show that I did.
Well, why is everything yellow?
Hammett.
It's really weird.
Are you poisoned?
There is
mate?
Another. To the back of your head. Give me a will save.
I rolled a 4, so that's an 8.
I'm going to write a little note for you for the first time in the podcast.
Oh, secret notes!
But, Hammond, if everything's yellow, come over here. Let's see whether you've got yellow eyes or something.
So he's pushed up against the glass and goes, how many of you are there?
I count 4.
His face just drops.
Oh, and the dog.
That hell's that brutal.
Fine.
You need to go and get a lot more people.
Why don't you come with us?
He's genuinely petrified. He keeps looking left and right.
What's he saying?
He says that we need to get out of here and that he'd prefer to stay.
Hammett doesn't respond.
Give me perception checks, everyone.
4 minus 1 is 3. I love the way that my rolls are just continually backing this up.
12 plus 7 is 19.
23.
You see that Hammett's face seems sort of slack and he has a fine patina of yellow across his face.
Oh.
Yes, at which point, almost completely silently, a creature drags itself into view.
I think that you're in charge again now.
Yeah, grab Hammett, leave.
Right.
Bertie, grab Hammett.
At which point, I'm going to get you all into initiative order. Okay, so I've got you in initiative order. However, the creature's managed to get a natural 1 on this initiative. So what we'll say is the creature that has the drop on you in every sense of the word proceeds to move, and then you see a tentacle you see a tentacle flail out and then hit one of the glass tanks, which has already got a crack in it. It breaks. Hundreds of frogs start falling out and toppling, and then steam just billows over it. So you still actually can't see what it is. But nonetheless, it clearly has no idea what's going on and is currently drowned in frogs.
Some kind of frog monster.
Sasha, you're up. What do you do?
I run to here.
Okay, so you go 5, 10, 15, 20.
Can I throw a fire vial flask at it?
Yes, you can draw as part of the move action and throw it.
14 for 18. It does have a shield of frogs.
It does, which is why I'm going to say, can you roll me a d10, please?
A concealment chance from the frogs.
And all of the steam.
9.
Okay, yeah, that's definitely a hit.
Yay.
And you throw your fire flask at the creature, whatever it is, still shrouded in mist. You get a smack in the middle, direct hit. Roll me 1d6 of fire damage.
Yay. 1.
Yay.
I tried, guys.
At which point, Bertie, you're up. There is an enormous thing shrouded in frogs and approaching.
Not mist. Not sort of tendrils or spooky mist, though. Shrouded
in frogs.
Occasionally a tendril, a planty tendril, will snake out and come back in, but nonetheless, it's mostly frogs.
Can I charge at it?
Yeah,
no,
you can.
No. He's shouted, grab Hammett, but I guess that wouldn't stop Bertie.
Bertie's seen an enemy now.
Yeah.
A charge is the correct move.
And it depends if he's going to actually get
the frog. Go for it!
What odds will people give me on Brutal licking a frog during this fight?
It's just in charge range.
Yeah.
Go for it.
30, yeah, Bertie charges it.
Okay.
So you take a penalty to your AC until your next action. So you get +2 on your attack roll.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool, lovely. 17 plus 7 plus 2 is 26.
Ooh, yeah, that's a hit.
A charge is a good time to power attack because the penalty you take.
Yeah. Oh.
I will assume that you would have anyway. I'll allow it this time. Cool. You power attack, doesn't
Thank
well.
You. So that's +1, +2 for damage.
Mm-hmm.
I now roll.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's 11.
I'll describe this one since you're not sure what you're going with. So yeah, you charge forward, sword in one hand, shield in the other. Rawr, take a huge swing just straight into the middle of the mist. It's probably in there. You hear a at which point a single planty tentacle is sliced clean off and it flops off, lands on the ground at your feet and begins writhing. Hammett, coming to, you do not have a standard action, but you do have a move action. You have no idea what the heck happened, you just, time has passed. Without you having realised it.
What's happening to Hammond today?
I look around and assess the situation.
As you look around, you see an enormous cloud of steam with tentacles flying out, looming over Bertie with frogs everywhere.
Yeah. I'll process this by the time my next act. Just another day.
Brutal has been part of it.
Brutal is now up. Gives a... and backs away.
Aww. This is why I need the post.
That's why you need to take the time to train him.
Yeah.
Zolf, you're up.
Bertie, no! Hamid, are you okay?
Maybe.
I'm going
to
walk up to him and check him. Under the perception check. The stuff on his head, is that like illusory or is it a powder or?
You'll find out.
Roll it.
Oh, yeah. Right, do that roll. Oh, 9.
It's yellow. It's definitely yellow.
Okay.
Okay, the creature moves 5 feet backwards, deeper into the cloud, and then suddenly a tendril just snaps out like a whip, flying straight for Bertie.
And I'm at -2 on my armor.
Yeah.
Does a. That won't hit. 17 hit.
My AC is 20, -2 is 18.
Oh, you got very lucky there. So the tendril.
Very lucky or very good?
The tendril flies out, and you manage to get your shield up in time, and just whang! Really loud, it echoes throughout, and it snaps its tendril back instantly like a whip. Okay.
Okay.
Sasha.
I'll throw another freaking thingy at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Throw another firefly.
You know, those word things. Those things. Ooh, I got a 2 there.
It's not a fumble, but nonetheless, you hurl a fire flask. It flies and it shatters against the glass tank to its left, which breaks, nothing happens. The flash smashes against it,
and does
there's a brief spray of flame.
Very little to the glass.
And it makes a tiny little crack in the glass, nothing really happens.
More of a chip.
Yeah, there's nothing.
Well, you know, you can't get it every time.
Bertie.
Bertie, can I charge at it?
You are too close.
You need more than 5 feet.
Okay. Well, I do whatever is required to move next to it and jump again with another power attack.
A 5 foot step will avoid it being able to attack you while you're moving.
Oh, right, okay, fair enough. I do whatever the optimal condition, collection of the things that we've done there that allows you to simply move close to it and attack it without being hit.
So, for future reference, 5 foot steps are used your entire move to just move 5 feet, but you don't provoke anything. It's you being really cautious, so instead of moving 40 feet, you're moving 5.
Okay.
But you can still do it in attack.
Right, Brenner. Does that mean I still have another action after?
You can make your 5 foot step and then attack.
All right, I do.
And you can power attack.
And it's going to be a power attack. Cool. 3 attack bonus of 7 -1.
It's a miss.
9. Yeah.
Again, you hear the sound of what can only be described as a frog expiring. But no contact is made. Hamid.
Did it croak?
Oh, joke of the episode.
Boo.
Resign!
I regret nothing.
You're up.
I move a couple of squares so that I have a good line of sight to the monster, and I cast Magic Missile.
Mm-hmm.
And I do 4 damage.
Okay. Brutal. Brutal moves further into the corner. Zolf.
Right, 1, 2, double move, 1, 2.
You are within 10 feet.
Yes.
Okay, the creature moves 5 feet, and then... Okay, Bertie, give me a will save.
Oh dear.
Bertie can resist anything except temptation. 12 minus 1 is 11.
Okay.
Oscar Wilde quote.
Yes.
Yes.
Bertie, the creature moves away from you, and suddenly you see something very quick fly towards your helmet, and poof! Suddenly... Everything's going yellow. You are now unable to do anything for 5 rounds.
Ooh. Is that obvious?
It was very obvious that something hit him. You are directly behind him. Something smacked him in the face and pff, cloud went everywhere. And suddenly, from a battle-ready stance, his arms go limp beside him. He stood there, he's still holding everything. He's just standing completely neutral, doing nothing. Sasha, you're up.
I am going to go...
15.
Yep, and then I am going to throw a dagger at him.
Okay. So give me the roll.
14.
It's a hit.
Yay, I mean, it's barely going to do any damage. 1d4 minus 1.
Hey, damage is damage.
1.
having checked some rules previously, you can't do 0 damage. if you get a hit. So even if it's a 1 minus 1,
oh, yeah, it'll still be it will always be a 1.
It'll always be, so you can't do 0 after rolling the damage die.
Oh, I did that several times before. Oh, well.
Wish I'd known that earlier.
Well, cool. Things happen. Bertie, your go is passed.
4, okay.
Yep.
I will keep it these 6.
Hamid, you're up.
1, 2, 3, 4. I move sideways and cast Magic Missile again.
Okay.
Magic Missile always hits.
Auto hit.
And I do 5 more damage.
Okay.
Go, Hamid.
Magic Missile is an excellent spell. It will get better the higher level I get as well.
So, I will describe this one as well. So, sidestepping, you come around the side of one of the tanks, and you see the creature is moving out from the
cloud of frogs. That's how it was described to me.
You see that it's an enormous plant of some kind. It's got a huge, thick bolus at the bottom, a collection of roots and things that form almost a solid mass. You see a single hand is protruding from that.
Oh dear.
There it has at least 6 tendrils flailing wildly, and a huge plant top, a huge bright red, like lotus flower opening.
Ooh,
at the top. However,
lolling about with little petals everywhere.
However, this is me remembering all my GCSE biology here.
How did you get a come on this?
Flowers, that's what they're for, aren't they?
However,
it just put all its pollen all over your face.
Yeah.
The stamen is pointing out over the top, and it's a huge bulbous thing covered in these little pouches of something. And it appears to be moving almost like a snake, looking around using it somehow. And the second that you cross that, it instantly flicks around and sees you. It's incredibly quick. And you fire, and it slams straight into one of the petals, tears it a bit, but ultimately the creature's more or less okay. Zolf, you're up.
Right, I'm going to take a 5-foot step here, so I'm still threatening it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to cast Create Water on Bertie's head.
Okay.
Wash his face.
Mm-hmm. I saw powder, I was like, oh.
Do you need any rolls for that or anything?
No.
Okay. You wash
2 gallons of water appearing.
You wash Bertie's head. it's like flash dance, but with armour.
Becoming waterboarded, that's what I'm getting at.
And I also basically try and put it in front of the grill so it'll go in, not just bounce off the helmet.
You douse Bertie. I will not say what happened until Bertie's turn.
Yep.
The creature then attacks Zolf using an enormous reach tendril.
Mm-hmm.
Whoosh, again, like a whip. I believe that's a miss. Let me double check. What's your AC?
My AC is 18.
18? Yeah, it misses. It slaps out like a whip.
On my shield. Which is wooden. It's more thunk.
But yeah, it whips out and there's a lot of force behind it. You get the impression that if it was to connect, it might mess you up a bit.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of chunks of splinters come off it, but you're relatively okay. And it will also move 5 backwards after that attack.
Mm-hmm.
Sasha.
Well, do you think it's trying to lead us deeper into the room?
I think it's more likely backing off, but we might want to do that too.
All right. Well, I will throw my last fire vial at him.
Okay.
Oh, 10.
10, that's a miss.
Oh, you're rubbish, Sasha. Use up all your good. She's exhausted from all the success earlier. I'm just adding a little like flair to everything, and it's really not working. Licking my hands, I throw it.
You're just much more accurate with bombs than you are with knives.
That's true.
Well, these are fireballs. The slight difference between them.
It's because you didn't make these. The weighting's all off. Yeah. Inferior product. That's totally what it is.
That's totally the problem.
I explain all of this. Maybe other people
through
are doing
science, through sign language.
Other people are doing this, doing other things at the same time. But I have to make all of this clear.
So just for listeners, just to spell it out, because I realise there's been a lot of descriptions in combat, what's actually the part you're doing is effectively they're hemming it in further and further across the room into a corner.
I don't know if Hamid's really capable of hemming something in.
Certainly from the outside.
Hamid might be capable of hemming a waistcoat.
Yeah, well, indeed.
Okay, Bertie, you're doused in water.
Yeah. Thank you.
I didn't get the credit.
Haberdashery general.
Yeah.
It has no effect.
Boo.
Hamid,
you're
up. I back off because Magic Missile has an excellent range.
It has a massive range, doesn't it? Presumably you do another?
Yeah, I cast another Magic Missile. I'm now quite far away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a problem, but this time I only use 2 damage.
Okay.
Oh, how I wish I was level 3.
You're up.
I will take a 5-foot step in front of Bertie,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to brace on my trident and hunker down.
Okay.
Try and make sense.
Use defensive stance.
Can take a defensive stance. Yeah, I'll take a defensive stance. You are sacrificing the ability to attack this round to.
You get plus 4 to your AC, I think.
Do I get an attack of opportunity if one becomes available? Do you give up your ability to?
I believe you give up your ability to do so in order to take the defensive stance. Fine. Okay, that's fine. In which case, then, the creature, taking advantage of the momentary relapse in attacks, takes a 5-foot step back, and another. Something flies at your head.
18-20.
Let's see if it hits.
Well, it's welcome to find my will save.
It does not.
Yeah, your will save is just...
I've got 9 to my will save.
And
I've got an extra bonus to poison.
Yeah, it doesn't know these things.
Yeah, no.
But yeah. It just breaks on your shield. Sasha, you're up.
One poison, I'm still behind Zolf's thing, and throw a dagger.
Okay.
I rolled a 5 to a 9.
It's another miss.
Well, I'm glad I got the high rolls when I did, because I nearly died last time where this thing is running away. But it would be helpful to hit something.
Yeah.
Bertie?
I'm only inactive for another 2 more turns.
If it had to do it to anyone, I couldn't think of a better fighter to do it to.
Yeah.
Hamid, you're up.
I haven't even noticed.
I cast magic missile.
Okay.
I do 2 more damage.
I mean, to be honest, we will whittle it away eventually.
I'm going to run out of magic missile.
I'm going to run out of daggers in ages.
I'm going to wake up in 2 turns.
At least we've been going quite quick, I suppose. Yeah.
Zolf, you're up.
No. Actually, yeah. 5 step, total turn.
Okay. Very Roman.
Yeah.
The inexorable.
Well, no, it's more Greek. More Greek.
Is it Tullus or something?
Okay, the creature attacks Zolf.
Mm-hmm.
Would a
22
hit?
That's equal to my AC.
So it hits. It deals 7 damage to Zolf. Lands it just on the neck. Sasha, you're up.
I'll throw another dagger.
Oh,
that's
thank goodness. Okay, 20.
Was that a natural 20?
No, it's 16 plus 4.
It's definitely a hit, though.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't really do much damage. 1.
Yep.
Chipping away. Yeah.
Well, I mean, so now I'm down to 13 daggers. So long as it's got 13
hit
points.
I am still. One more turn.
Slumpy.
And it's in charge range.
It is in charge
range. I haven't even noticed that Bertie is affected by anything. I'm just like, slightly slower than usual.
Well, he never pays you any attention anyway, so he's just stood there not paying you attention.
The idea that I would get 3, like 2 fire vials and 2 daggers off in the time that Bertie would take to blink doesn't faze me at all.
Hamid, you're up.
I cast my final magic missile.
From a great distance whilst everyone else charges it down.
I do 3 damage.
3 damage. It is looking significantly ragged. It's using the roots to move it. It lifts itself up, drags it in, plonks. So, that was for 3. It's still going. You hit it really square. One of the roots just snaps off cleanly. Zolf.
Cool. I will convert Burning Disarm into Cure Light Wounds for myself.
Okay.
D8, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is a 6 heal. Well,
I just decided to draw that.
Plus caster level.
No, it's plus 1. Plus 11 is spell converted, so plus 1.
Halve it.
Poseidon is alive.
Yeah.
He does not like you.
No, well, that's all Hamid's fault.
Okay.
What? I didn't.
Exactly, you didn't drown those people.
I only have a move action left, so I guess that is that. But I'm not in a total defensive stance. So.
Okay, the creature moves 5 feet backwards again.
Only they try and move 10 foot at some point.
Forgive me for this, James. It hits. Can you give me a will save?
No.
You're the power hit. It has to get you.
2. Oh. Minus 1 is 1.
Oh, dear.
6.
I'm...
Again.
For another 6.
Yeah,
turns.
Sorry, dude.
Slightly slack.
It smacks you in the face again.
Right.
I like the idea that Bertie's sort of standing there and he wakes up and he raises his shoulders. Rah! Smash right in the face. Right in the leering, raging mouth. Bam! And there's a pollen. And then
let's go with that. And on that, we'll take a break and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Test. Test. Elias, hopefully if you hear this, it means I've found a way to record those difficult statements I was telling you about. While I hate to speak ill of the dead, the previous archivist left this place in such a dreadful mess, and even an organization with such an unusual focus as the Magnus Institute needs a well-organized archive. As you know, I've been going through trying to digitize and record audio versions, but I've been having trouble with a few of the more bizarre statements. There have been sufficient distortions as to make them utterly unintelligible. Thankfully, though, I managed to unearth this old tape recorder from storage, and these cassettes, archaic as they may be, are still better than nothing. So with that in mind, I thought I'd take it for a spin, as it were. I've taken the shortest of the problem statements, and I'm trying it here. Frankly, I wouldn't normally bother with something so fragmented, but it should be fine as a test. Statement of Jacob, no second name given, regarding God knows what. Original statement given July 15th, 2011. Statement begins. It'll get you too. You can stare all you want, make your notes and your inquiries, but all your beholding will come to nothing. When the time arrives and all is darkness and butchery, you'll wish you had stopped listening and run. Statement ends. Yes, well, you see why I wouldn't have otherwise recorded it. Not exactly something for posterity, but nonetheless, let me know if you are able to hear that correctly, Elias. If so, I think we can begin transcribing the rest of the statements. The Magnus Archives, a new weekly horror podcast by Rusty Quill, coming soon.
And welcome back. Sasha, you're up. Bertie's been incapacitated again. Everyone's hounding down this creature that just takes the punishment. What do you do?
I am going to... I've got, like, my only real option. I step forward one and I throw another dagger.
Go for it.
Okay, 20.
It's a hit.
Cool. Again, don't get your hopes up on the damage. That's one.
That one damage.
Yeah.
Oh, damage. Really?
Genuinely, that one damage is all that was required.
Blimey.
So you launch it, describe it to me. It's a minimal amount of damage in the perfect place.
So all of the, you know, all the little roots and stuff are sort of sliming around and the flower is mixed. But I notice that, like, the flower is really only connected to the bulb by quite a thin stamen. Sort of lean in and throw all the frustration. So I have been flaring the others a little bit, like, you know, toss them in the air because it's like, yeah, I did so well the last time, this one. No, I am angry. I have missed. I have wasted daggers on this thing. I can see my knives stuck in. I want my baby knives back, curses. I throw it and it, right between the, like, happy-go-lucky, flaring, raggedy, flowery bits.
The flirty petals.
The flirty petals
and the gross,
and the big gross bollers.
Yeah.
I sort of, I would have preferred if it was more like just it's there and I just like hit one tiny bit off the side of the thing. One. And that's just the last bit it could take.
I will take your first answer.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's all right, guys. I saw it again.
At which point the huge petals just flop off, the whole thing just flops to the ground. The bolus begins to spasm and tendrils just flashing and flapping against the glass. A couple of them crack. They don't break the things, but they certainly crack all of the glass in it. It continues to spasm until it slowly, slowly begins to subside, at which point, Bertie, after about 30 seconds, you'll be coming to.
Okay. Yep, it's all right, guys. I've dealt with it again. It's cool. Uh-huh. You're good.
I'm going to walk over to the plant and... Mm-hmm. Burn away some of the more threatening looking bits with acid.
Just
flashes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fine. Sorted.
I'll turn around with like a vine mark across my face, like. Mm-hmm.
The laugh isn't in character. Like. Totally, just very happy with yourself. Yep. It's fine.
So what do you do? By the way, congratulations on defeating it. Oh. That was a beast.
Well done, everyone.
Good job.
Really, it was mostly Hamid. I should say that, like, Sasha's smugness is not my own. I'm quite aware that Hamid did the vast majority of the damage, and that Zolf took all the risks.
People underestimate magic missile until you fire it again and again and
it
again.
It just keeps on hitting that thing.
And yeah, the thing about it hitting, that's a key thing.
That's a really useful aspect of it.
Don't want people to think that I am as smug as Sasha.
So, can we get out of this basement?
Well, we should help that guy
now. Yeah, let's bring the guy.
That was implicit.
I'm going to just quickly, I'm going to scamper around the bit of the room we haven't explored yet, just to make sure there are no more threats that can surprise us.
And a guy without the dark vision and with 6 hit points total. He's just going to scamper around.
Hey, I've got 12 hit points, I'll have you know.
Okay. Whoa.
It's more hit points than I've got right now.
Oh, not more doors.
More doors.
Which are being added to the battle map.
Oh. I do not go through any doors at this point.
You expose in the opposite corner to where the man was a set of double doors. Wreathed all around it are more sort of funguses and growths and things like that. And there is another door off to the left, which is not, there's no growths on it or anything like that. And unlike all of the other doors, which appear to be large enough for freight, you know, big double doors, 10 foot across, this one's just a standard person-sized door.
And there's nothing around it.
You see nothing else. You do, on your excursions, notice that the brown mould, the sort of cold mould, appears to have come out from the broken tank.
Oh, what, this one?
Yeah. In fact, looking at it, it looks like it's burst out from the tank. And as you walk around, just getting a glimpse of the open tank, because there's still steam pumping in, you see almost a solid 10-foot by 10-foot mass of this mould just bulging and bulging and throbbing as the steam continues to down onto it. And it's very clear that it's grown out down and up against the wall where the steam is effectively freezing.
Yeah.
I'd say get the guy out of the... Doesn't matter if he wants to stay. Just move the rock, drag him out, and we'll be out of
there. Yeah, we'll deal with it. I'm going to get rid of this. And
I already got rid of it. It's fine.
I'm throwing away the body.
Can you drown it?
Can you help? Can the two of
It's a plant!
I'm trying to
can
help.
Can the two of you get that guy out of that tank now?
I really need 30.
Whilst they're occupied, I'm going to just investigate this door.
Trying to do a Sasha, are we?
can I see the arm that was in the bolus of roots? I know I didn't see it. Actually,
yes,
it's obvious.
It's almost skeletal. It's clutching...
an ID? Is it clutching its ID? That would be
not
helpful.
It appears to be clutching a vial, but it's almost skeletal, and it looks like it's in an incredibly late stage of decomposition.
Okay, I'll try and hack this corpse out of the roots and get hold of whatever it's got.
So you begin to hack.
I'll take the ball out of his hand.
Sure. Are you hacking with a trident?
The mace.
The mace. So, still having not taken the time to remove all of the door.
Yeah. I'll hit it once, notice how screwed up my mace is, and then take the door off.
Sure. Yeah, you continue to hit and bash and bash. It's almost solid wood that you're bashing, so it takes ages.
I'll just keep going.
I will leave you
ready.
Whacking away at that, jump to Hamid and then jump back. So jumping to Hamid.
Very cautiously just open the door.
You
crack.
See a clear staircase of stone leading upwards.
Leading upwards.
That's interesting. And Sasha and Bertie, what were you guys doing?
I'm going to tap on the glass to get the guy's attention.
Yep, he...
And then I mime, bolus, flower, shooty thing, and then I slash, slash, and I point at me, and then I'm like, slash, to the thing.
He gestures then, back to you, he does the most awful stereotypical zombie arms outstretched, and then hits it, arms out.
And I just like, and I point, and I'm just like,
so as far as he's concerned, Sasha's killed everything.
Yeah, well, to be fair, I just.
That's what's been communicated.
And so then we get. I tell you to push the boulder. I don't care. I'm not miming anymore.
he goes over and pulls the boulder, and a single snake crawls out and down. It's a very sort of plate. It's not huge or anything. It's just one. And then he starts climbing out, and you see him shaking snakes out from him, and one crawls out from his sleeve, and he's like,
oh, mate.
He comes out.
Are you some kind of snake sorcerer?
What? Why would... No! Okay, so everything's been gotten.
Yeah, well, I think so. I mean, Zolf is smashing up that
Who's
flower
Zolf?
Thing.
Who are you?
I'm Sasha.
Hello.
I'm the one that dispensed the swarms and the giant plant monster.
All of them?
Yeah, me.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right? This is Bertie. He's been paralysed for a while. So who are you?
Well, I'm Dr. Mendeleev.
Oh, great. I think you're the one that we're looking for. That's what we did this one.
Well, how is everyone else?
Dead. Sorry. All of the ones we've met, at least. Oh. Like, one was a zombie, Obs. God. And, I don't know.
I'm going to allow Obs in this world. Also totes, should you need it.
it's the wrong kind of East London. Anyway.
It was pretty amazeballs.
No, I'm a bit of Stratford.
Jason?
Good Stratford slide. No, he was a zombie, mate. Yeah. Right.
What about
proper zombified? Well zombied. And then there's a skeleton hand inside a plant. Don't know if that was a good friend of yours because he is.
Yes, I'm.
Name like Jeff or something. Jeff the plant.
Oh no, that. If you're talking about the big thing, it was there. It was already there.
Oh right. Well, he became a plant.
Right. Well, that's probably the yellow musk. We found it. I managed to identify it, and then it kind of went a bit.
Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bit late.
Yeah, there's a giant fungus. There's another body in a big freezing cold fungus. You guys do weird stuff, right?
Okay, really
like,
weird.
I am from friggin' underground places where people, we live on eels and we eat a lot of kind of mushroomy stuff and we have a lot of blind rats, but this place is weird.
Brown fungus, cold, very cold.
Yeah.
Is he dead?
Well cold. Yeah, he is out of it.
That doesn't mean he's dead.
Well, I don't know. He's covered in it.
Oh, he's probably dead.
Yeah. All right. Well, we could go over. It doesn't seem to be. Is there anything else? Because if there's anything else,
I haven't seen it. Really, the whole swarms, all of them?
Yeah. Well, two. How many swarms were there?
Yes, there were just the two.
Oh, great. I mean, obviously, there's a swarm, so I guess it could split into multiple things.
How many is in a swarm?
Yeah. How much is swarm? How is swarm? Why
does
is
it,
swarm?
When does it swap over? When does a horde become a swarm?
Yeah, and when is a group a swarm?
I have to say, you have amazing coping
Lots,
skills.
I think.
We got what?
Amazing coping skills.
I came down here and I killed some stuff. That's my job, mate.
I'm very psychologically resilient. There's not very much psychology to damage.
None of us even got really hurt. I mean, well, no, Hamid got hurt, but he's all right.
Hello. Doctor.
Oh,
Doctor,
hello. Hello.
Hammond, he's all right.
Don't be afraid, he's just a small man.
Oh, yes. Alright. I think that's...
Have they updated you on the situation?
Apparently, you eliminated two swarms. Were there no survivors from the swarms at all?
Well, there's like one or two some ran off.
Right, okay, that's manageable.
They regrow, weren't they?
No, you're quite safe. May I see the yellow mask?
Yeah, it's like over there.
I still think we should try and get that.
As
that
he's talking, the snake crawls out from amongst his clothes, and he just doesn't even seem to notice it, and it crawls off on the way.
You have fun with snakes, don't you, mate?
If I never see one again, it'll be too soon. may I? He starts heading over. At which point,
don't touch it.
Hamid knee deep in.
Zolf.
Sorry, Zolf knee deep.
Donk. Donk.
There's just massacred vegetable all around him, vegetation and leaf and plant. And you're slowly digging your way down. Eventually, you've managed to find a skull is part of the bolus, and there's a hand out, led out from it, clutching.
Zolf,
it's
Dr.
Mendeleev. It appears more skeletal. Yeah, you can just pluck it. The hand comes away with it, but it's fairly easy to just
shake it off.
Yeah, pull it off.
Hey,
Dr. Mendeleev.
Hello.
Oh, are you the idiot responsible for bringing this in?
I would appreciate a certain amount of candor. People are dead.
Yeah, your fault.
My fault?
Well, you brought it in, right?
No! Oh. No, sir, I did not. And I do not appreciate that tone.
So, don't we need to be friends with this guy?
Oh, I could drown him. What? Yeah,
no,
sure.
So, wait. So I was suggesting all these people you could drown, and you're like, no. But this guy, right, fine.
What have I stumbled
on? Oh, just ignore it. What do you want? What? Yeah, oh, we've got a seed. Do you want to identify it? I can burn this, can I?
Please.
Right.
Would someone
Spark.
I'm afraid your mate, and I tried to put on an incredibly... Sort of, I mean, the problem is that Sasha has known a lot of violence and her job has generally been to go into dangerous places and do things with people that she doesn't like very much. So the idea that, you know, that she's trying to be quite sensitive to the fact that someone might have a lot going on. So, yeah, like your mate who really sadly got like well covered in fungus is over there.
We should try.
Do you want to like see the body and stuff?
We should try and get him out of the fungus. So.
Well, for respect and whatever.
You can poke him with a stick if you like.
Yeah.
Look, it's a Venezuelan brown. Okay, I mean, oh god, none of you went near it with fire, did you?
No.
Right, I need
What would have happened?
The Venezuelan brown mold flourishes under heat. The more heat you give it, the bigger it grows.
Ah, good thing I didn't.
Look, if someone can help me, I can turn off the boilers at least, and that'll help reduce the temperature. God.
Yeah, we can come with you.
This way.
It's just in the corner there. It's the double door that Hamid discovered earlier.
Right.
He leads you over, and then he sees sort of plant growth around the outside. Would anyone be willing to go first? I've had a bit of a day.
You've had a day.
Bertie steps forward.
Still a bit groggy from his plant.
What? Hang on. Yes. Breakfast. Good.
Bertie.
What?
Go through the door.
Oh. What? Bertie, because he's still a bit groggy and delirious, doesn't really ready an action or anything like that. He just bumbles through the door.
Attempts to bumble through the door. You reach out, try to open it, and just... It just stops. Just dead, as if locked.
How does in work on this door?
Is it blocked by plants?
It looks like there's a huge amount of plant growth all around the outside. It looks like the door couldn't open if it wanted to.
Mr. Mendelow...
Is there something in there that might have...
Yeah.
I have no idea. Honestly, I mean... I came down to find Friedrich and the staff and...
Holtzman?
Yes.
Yeah, he's dead.
Sorry, mate.
No, I know.
Oh,
I put a comforting hand on his elbow.
Well, anyway, I naturally, seeing all of this, I decided to head to the boiler room, and it came out from there, and then I ended up getting trapped between it and Friedrich, so...
Could there be something else in the boiler room?
I have no
idea. That's where it came from.
I have no idea, but I do know that...
Should we break the door down?
I think it's best. We can't leave it in there.
Bertie starts trying to break the door down, I think...
I will fire acid splash at the hinges.
Sure, I'm not even going to get attacks. How many?
Take 10.
Yeah, how many is wailing at it with the door? Acid. Finally, you manage to just hack through, and yeah, in there, it's like Amazonian rainforest when it comes to growth. There's just vines hanging down from pipes. There's algae across all of the like pressure valves and things like that. Give me a perception check, all of you.
17. 10.
23.
23? None of you see anything.
Ooh.
There you go.
Is any of this dangerous, Doctor?
He takes some spectacles out, puts them on his face. They're broken, he doesn't notice. Kind of looks around and goes, I think we're probably in the clear.
Okay, well then,
doesn't seem to be anything.
How do we turn the boilers off?
Could you... What's the phrase? Watch my back?
Of course.
He sort of creeps in.
I'll stay very close.
Looking around.
Bertie stares very intently at his spine.
he reaches over and starts turning some valves, and then there's a groan. At which point you hear... And a faint hiss that you've barely been hearing turns off. And slowly you start to see steam dissipating from all of the tanks that still had cracks in them. Most of them reveal dead creatures at this point. A couple reveal plants. And yeah, all of them slowly begin to lose that steam. And the luminousness of some of the sort of mushrooms and things is brighter because of the steam. So the room gets a bit brighter with it as well. Well, that appears to be as much as I can do.
Shall we head off?
We should still try and... Check that last person if we can. What's through that door, Doctor? I point to the little one in the corner that I know has a staircase behind.
Fire escape. It's where I was heading before I got headed off.
Okay, so we can head back up that way.
Yeah, honestly, we should probably just leave the mold to the professionals. We found what we needed to.
I feel that might actually be best if he's.
Do you want us to get your mate's body?
That's what we're leaving to the professionals.
Right. If you're able to remove him, I can certainly pronounce. Here.
Let's try and do that quickly.
I can pronounce there.
Here. There.
Bertie looks smug.
Well done, Bertie.
Apparently the pollen hit Bertie a lot harder.
Residual effects.
He got a double dose though.
Yep. I'll grab some rope from my kit and make a hodgepodge together, a lasso of some kind, and ask Sasha to throw it over some bit of the body so I can drag it out without actually entering the cold.
And look at it a bit baffled and then give it to the sailor.
Who has been just sitting down, just chilling while this is all happening. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I thought your throwing might be more accurate. Yes. I've made the lasso.
Right.
You hand it back to you. Like, looks fine.
Alright, well,
that is a rope.
I grab
you
it.
Feel alright, Bertie?
I mean, technically, my throwing is just as good as yours, but I don't know that.
Fair enough. So I'll go over there and try and lasso something.
Sure.
Bit of his body.
Should we just, we'll just say you take 10.
Probably, yes. Yeah. Or 20.
Sure.
Whenever.
You manage to get it around a foot and just pull him out.
Right.
Pulling him out. The mould stays on him and the cold appears to follow you as it seems to follow the body because the mould is actually upon it.
Yeah, sorry, mate. Doesn't look good.
That's... And that's fine. I appreciate the gesture.
Who was he?
Looks like the Night Guard. Him and me came down in order to find out what happened to the others.
Right.
We got separated and... He ran one way, I ran the other, I suppose. I got lucky.
Well, I guess it's not what you expect for scientist work.
Let's head upstairs and everyone can have a nice cup of tea.
I remember something about a seed.
Yes, we'll get to that.
Do you want to, like, while we're down here, is there anything from the filing room that we should grab? Yeah?
Honestly, I think we're going to need to do a complete clean-up.
Right.
If I'm sorry, he just starts walking to the fire escape.
Yeah.
I'll follow him.
Sure.
Yep. Oh,
heads up.
We clear a dungeon, guys.
We did clear a dungeon.
You cleared your first dungeon. Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
And none of you died. Yeah. Although many of you were incapacitated or KO'd.
Yeah.
That's a good dungeon. Right, yeah, he makes it up the stairs and reveals a door, which is barred from this side. Just pulls it open. Steps outside, and you guys are out in bright sunshine.
Wow.
Oh, like Skyrim.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's the way out.
Yeah, very much. It's good level design.
Yep. It is.
You find yourself in a light well. He just leads you up. You're out at the edge of one of the buildings, and he just leads you straight back around across the gravel, in back through the front door.
I thought we had to go down several floors to get there.
Yeah, we just come up. There's a big,
significant staircase, and the elevator was really slow. You weren't in, like, the centre of other London or anything.
Right.
So yeah, he just leads you back in through the front door, and on the way he sees George as he's heading up to his office, and George is sort of in there, opens the door and just going, Oh my God, you found him! Oh!
Yeah.
Whoa!
I'm afraid the others are...
Dead.
Not, yeah.
Oh.
Sorry, mate.
Oh.
Were they your friends?
Well, Friedrich was my mentor. Mendeley sort of heads in and goes, George, I need you to go out. I need you to just lock it down and let everyone know that it's we have time. We're going to need to get a full crisis team down there. These people, whoever they are, have managed
Heroes.
To...
Heroes.
It's as good a word as any.
Is there anyone who's at fault who breathes there?
That would be Friedrich, so no.
Oh. I assumed as much.
Unless you're willing to go to Venezuela.
At
which point...
I don't know how it works. I'm trying to be helpful.
We can find people closer.
Right, sorry. Okay.
He sends George out. Colgate sort of steps up, gives Mendeleev a nod, and then turns to Zolf and co. Good job, as always. I'm not really surprised. How is everyone? Injured? Anyone need any medical attention?
Yeah, I've taken it. Well, we've all taken some hits.
Yep. Not feeling very well. None too perky.
I think Bertie's
right.
Got
I'll
hay
go
fever.
And talk to Mendeleev and George, but you guys.
Yeah, well, none of us are going to fall over, and I think we can just recuperate with a good night's sleep.
Down three.
Right. Mendeleev, obviously it's a bit of a poor time, so I might come back later. I feel like you people are useful to know.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. I like you.
I like me too.
He looks at all of you quite sternly. Good. Yes. Good.
It's been a pleasure to make your acquaintance as well.
And yours. And yours. He just turns around and just strides out, closing the door.
What a strange man.
Yes, Colgate always has been. Here, let me... He gets up and he starts pouring sort of drinks and there's a tonic, like a big snake oil tonic type flask with all like glass filigree all over it, and it's lurid green, and he pours out 5 shots. So, sort you out. Necks it.
I take one as well.
Yeah, might as well take one.
I take one and pour the brandy from my inventory into it and then drink it.
I hold back, look to see how other people have reacted to it.
It tastes...
If no one died, I drink it.
It tastes of equal parts aniseed and garlic.
Ugh.
Hammond enjoys it.
This reminds me of Ragweed.
I was just thinking the same thing, Bertie.
Right, well,
Turn the seed, Hammond.
Yes, you've mentioned this before. Sorry, what is it?
Well, we were hoping you might be able to tell us something about the provenance of this very strange seed we found. Let me get it out. Where is it?
While he's doing that, he writes a little note on something. Wraps it, puts it in a tube and reaches out. Pulls a wall panel aside, revealing a little pneumatic tube, and he...
Hey, what was that?
I'm letting the institution know what's happened.
Oh, right, okay, it's not...
Will someone be talking to the press, Doctor?
Well, we'll have to.
I'd like to, you know, let them know what we accomplished as well.
No, I wouldn't worry about that. There's not a chance that I'm going out there without some kind of accountability.
So
when you say accountability, you're saying you're blaming us?
I mean that I'm going to lavish all kinds of reward on the people who quickly and effectively ended this situation that is now concluded.
All right, I like that sound. How lavish?
I was going to say, if you're going to try and bribe us, I'd do it a bit better than that.
Quite. He doesn't seem to be particularly aggressive, just very preoccupied. He's reaching over to the safe. About this seed.
I show it to him. We're hoping you might know what it was or where it came from or something. We're very confused.
He reaches out, stops, puts on a glove, then reaches out and holds it up to the light. Even amongst all of the distraction that he's had, it grabs him, whatever it is. He goes over to the corner where he has a microscope and sort of examines it, takes it back, puts it down on the desk. I have never seen that before in my life.
Brilliant.
I have never heard of that before. Where did you get it? What's it from? What's it grow to? What's the incubation period?
We don't know. We found it amongst some miscellaneous research, and we were hoping to find out more about it because we're not very clear on that ourselves.
He takes it and examines it. Well, what do you know about it?
What is in the research about it? I don't even remember. I've read the whole notebook in character. But unlike some GMs I've known, I've noticed that you didn't actually produce a pre-written notebook that I could read out of character. I'm just saying, some people go the whole way.
He asked even more homework.
I didn't want this to come up in the session, but this is where I have to share Hamid's crippling dyslexia. Absolutely crippling. The reason that he can read magic is because the words are moving as much as he moves them in his eyes. Like it all just squares up for once. No. Effectively, reading through the notes, it was deliberately quite esoteric and quite obfuscated. What you noticed is that it was in the section that was dealing with effectively replicating the nervous system. It talked about basically having to find seed traders, and it mentioned the fact that it took an enormous amount of effort and work, and it follows it up with, finally, what are the chances of finding two? Blah, 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 blah. And that was it. That's all it was. It was very deliberately obfuscated.
Does it mention where it was trading for seeds?
On the ocean. It met a trader near the coast of Norway.
So, yeah, so it could have been from anywhere.
Well, interestingly, I'd say it's probably not toxic. And I can't really tell you more without any kind of context.
No. Could you recommend anywhere we could go and find out more, even?
Well,
there was to do with research around, there's metal, it was a metal device that it was connected to. So we wondered whether it would be something that would work in any way with, like, metal and maybe magical metal.
He reaches out. Would you allow me to perform a minor test? It's non-destructive, but it might mark it slightly.
I look around at everyone and sort of nod half-heartedly.
He goes over to a bench and just starts pipetting something onto it and then... Well, it's mostly metal for a seed, which I've never heard of. I don't like doing this. Your best bet's probably going to be Svalbard. I don't enjoy referring people there, frankly. No offence, of course, he turns to Zolf, but frankly it's...
The seed bank.
Yes.
I guess that makes sense.
Do they worship Poseidon, or are they dwarves or pirates?
We've not all got a telepathic link, you know.
So the Svalbard seed bank.
Yep.
Now, Svalbard, a lot of people call it the gateway to the dwarven realms.
Ah.
It's a place that you can go, and it's one of the few places where there's a heavy dwarven population where you're allowed to go, to be blunt. Mm. Excluding yourself, obviously. Mr. Zolf, wasn't it?
Just get with it.
Now, the point being that they have been known to trade in seeds. Obscure seeds that none of the rest of us have seen. We don't like to refer people to them because, frankly, we are an independent institution and we are worth our own weight, frankly. We are worth funding.
Of course.
But nonetheless, they will occasionally provide something interesting and they don't tend to enjoy trading. The fact that you've managed to get hold of something that's likely from there is astounding.
Well, okay, that's something we'll follow up then, I suppose. Thank you so much, Doctor.
You'll try.
Mm-hmm. You got mates there, Zolf?
You know, it's really, it's...
What, we're supposed to all know each other?
That's what it is. I mean, they all look the same to me, but I mean...
I know everyone in other London.
No, I've never been to Svalbard.
All right.
I grew up in Herefordshire.
Ah. That'd explain the accent.
Yeah. Yeah, that would explain the accent.
I think I might wrap up there. You've at least got
as
a lead.
As our casual racism comes to a friendly close.
Sasha has never been outside of London, and someone just told her that that was the dwarven place and kept stepping around. So, of course, she thinks there's mates there. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was logical.
Innocent.
Not how
eyes.
I'm going to take it, though.
No.
Oh, one thing before we wrap up this episode. Ahmed is going to ask Sasha if she wants her deeds of heroism to appear in the papers or she'd rather keep her name out of them. Because he's going to go and sort some PR after this. You seem so pleased. I didn't want you to be left out.
No, I'm smug. Yeah. Okay. Like, you mean like there was, you know, just a bit. Like, maybe just a bit.
Yeah.
About how when you all ran away. That bit, and then when I took everything off.
There certainly will be an element of that.
So, yeah, thanks for listening, and thanks for joining us on our first dungeon crawl bit, I suppose you'd call it. And we will hope you tune in next week for yet more adventure, hopefully without plants. I'm a bit planted out. Bye, all.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Sorry, I couldn't help it. My stomach rumbled.
Oh, you're right.
Ben looked at me like you could
hear.
It was
a very audible gurgle.
Sorry.
Sorry, my intestines have been like a factory for the last week, so it's good. That's a fun fact about Ben. Let's start the episode. Come on, let's go!
My colon klaxon has also been all a bellow.
So, yeah.
It was colon klaxon, wasn't it?
It was a bellow.
New word. Like a bellio greater Anglia. That's where they get it from. It is in many ways functionally equivalent to a colon. I know which I would prefer to have running a rail franchise.
Bob satire.
Substantially timelier, I think, and more reliable.
Regular.
Probably cleaner. Yeah. Probably cleaner as well, actually, than their
substantially cleaner. And also the entrances or exits are placed in the optimal position.
Sasha is down to 14 daggers.
Times are hard in the racket household.
That's enough to kill an entire football team and substitutes.
James Ross's murder facts. Yeah.
Does killing someone use up a dagger?
It depends how deep you put it. I've had some very annoying experiences on public transport with the lads recently. So this is, I'm channeling.
You know, as a choice, she'd like to waste things in the spine.
So that was
D10 plus 4 plus the 5 I've just rolled plus 2 is 21.
No, it's not.
Oh, sorry.
No.
5. My apologies. 5 plus 4 plus 2. No, that's 11. Sorry.
11. There we go.
Yeah, look, Alex's eyes are like, sorry. I've been working so hard.
All I do is nice things for you, and you all ruin it by killing them.